Up your Bibles to the book of Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. Mark chapter 1 verse 40. In Mark chapter 1 as a whole, we have seen the Lord begin his ministry here on this earth. We've seen his baptism. We've seen the temptation he endured. We've seen him preaching and teaching and healing and casting out demons and all these various things. In this latter part of the chapter, we see our Lord in particular advancing his kingdom. And we've noted that he advanced the kingdom through prayer and preaching so far. And today we're going to see that he advances it also through cleansing. Now, this is centered on the story of a leper who comes to him for healing and to be cleansed, and our Lord does that. But I believe he sets in place something here for us to follow, to also pursue, and that is cleansing in the kingdom. And I'll try to explain that more as we go along here. Let's begin reading Mark chapter 1, verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went out, and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, O Lord, we come to you, O Lord, to praise you and to worship you here this morning. I pray that that's been found pleasing in your sight. We ask now, O Lord, that your Spirit would teach us from your word and speak to our hearts, Lord, those things that we need to hear, things that will encourage us, even convict us, O Lord, and that we might be changed when we leave this place this morning, all because we have been in your holy presence. Lord, I just thank you for all these things that you do, and I thank you for Christ our Savior, and we pray this in his name. Amen. Let me begin. We're going to dig into leprosy and some things about it here in a moment and how it really is a picture of sin that we can learn much from. But let me go to this overall topic of cleansing. And while that specifically applies to the cleansing and healing of this leper here in this passage, I want us to understand that is part of advancing the kingdom as well, this cleansing. And what this represents here in this passage is that cleansing from sin that occurs in believers by the power of God. And it is a necessary thing. And that probably sounds to you as something good and very understandable, and it may be something I would hope that you agree with. But, you know, it's not so in a lot of churches. A lot of churches are more concerned with entertainment, making people feel good. And they do not address sin head on as they should. They do not spend time speaking about the cross, the sacrifice of Christ, the blood he shed, the death he died there on that cross. They don't spend enough time talking about his resurrection and what that means for you and I. They're just concerned about feeling good. That doesn't advance the kingdom. We need to address these issues. We need to talk about our Savior and exactly why he came. He didn't come just to be a good teacher. He didn't come just to heal people. He came to be the sacrifice for his people. So we preach Christ and him crucified. And that, by the power of God, works a cleansing among people. God, and let me be clear here, it is God's power that cleanses people. And he has appointed various means by which this process carries on. And I think that's the underlying message that we should get from this. And let us see if that's not so as we go through these verses of Scripture. But now before we get into, say, verse 40, I want to point out a couple of things. First of all, I want to talk about the scourge of leprosy. I'm not sure we fully appreciate leprosy in our day and time. Has anyone in here ever known someone who had leprosy? Anybody? It's not that common of a thing amongst us. Now, in Bible times, it was much more common. Maybe it's the drier conditions that the people lived in or whatever. But it was a much more serious thing in the Old and New Testaments. And for someone to have leprosy, it was to be sentenced to a living death or a dying while living or whatever you want to call it. Leprosy was a horrific thing. There was no cure. Some people associate it with being just a disease of the skin, but it's more than that. It's a disease of bone and muscle as well. It means that a person basically rots to death. That their extremities fall off inch by inch. Someone who had leprosy was required to isolate themselves, to wear rags, to have unkempt hair, and they were to cry out unclean, unclean, everywhere they went, or if someone approached their general direction. And on top of all this, leprosy in the Bible was viewed as a curse or a judgment from God. Moses' sister Miriam experienced this when she sinned and spoke out, and she was struck with leprosy as a result. So to have leprosy was a horrific thing. Now let's further amplify that and talk about the symbolism of leprosy. You see, leprosy is symbolic of sin. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Leviticus chapter 13. Leviticus chapter 13. Now chapters 13 and 14 in Leviticus deal with leprosy. We're not reading all these verses, but there are a few I want to read, and I want to point out some of the similarities of leprosy to sin. By the way, sin is horrific too. Sin is living death, if you will. And a lot of folks don't really appreciate that. They sin and they sin and they go on and sin as if they really give no thought or care about it. You ought to give care to sin. Sin is destructive. Sin brings death. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 3 is where we'll look first. And the first thing I want to point out is, like sin, leprosy is, leprosy is like sin in this. It is deeper than the skin. Verse 3, and the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. It's not just some little skin irritation or disease that we're talking about here. It is something that goes deeper than the skin. It goes into the flesh. And that's the way sin is. Sin is not some little light something you can just kind of play with, then move on when you please. If you're infected with sin, let me tell you something. You're infected. You got a problem. And it's a deep problem. spiritually, just like leprosy is physically. See, another thing about this similarities here, sin rots one from the inside out. And it also spreads, just like leprosy. Look down to verse 5. And the priest shall look on him the seventh day, and behold, if the plague in his sight be at a stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more. And the priest shall look on him again the seventh day, and behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab spread much abroad in the sin, in other words, if it is leprosy, and after that he hath been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprosy. So just like leprosy, sin spreads. Sometimes we think, oh, I'll just do this one sin and then I'll be okay and I'll go on. One sin often leads to another sin, which leads to another sin. And before you know it, your whole body is plagued with sin. That's just the way sin is. It's a dangerous, deadly thing. And we shouldn't trifle with it. And we shouldn't play with it. Spreads all over. It corrupts the whole body. Going down to verse 44 now, where we see that leprosy, like sin, defiles and isolates. Verse 44, he is a leprous man, he is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. Sin puts you outside the camp. What's the camp? What's the people of God? And sin, if it's undealt with, it will isolate you from everyone else. You won't be part of the family of God, in other words. You will be defiled, as this says. Sin's not a pretty thing. We shouldn't give it pet names. We shouldn't make light of it. And we shouldn't accept it the way so many do today. Whatever the Bible calls sin, we ought to stay away from, as if it were the plague, because indeed it is a spiritual plague. Now move on down to verse 49, and we see that leprosy, like sin, renders things fit to be burned in fire. And if the plague be greenish or reddish in the garment or in the skin, either in the warp or in the woof or in anything of skin, it is a plague of leprosy and shall be showed unto the priest. And the priest shall look upon the plague and shut up it that hath the plague 7 days. And he shall look on the plague on the seventh day. If the plague be spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof or in a skin or in any work that is made of skin, the plague is a fretting leprosy. It is unclean. He shall therefore burn that garment, whether warp or woof, in woolen or in linen, or anything of skin wherein the plague is, for it is a fretting leprosy. It shall be burnt in the fire. Sin, if not taken away by the precious blood of Christ, is only good to be burnt. And the one that commits it in hell for eternity. And that's just the truth of the matter. We need to be frank about sin. And we need to make certain people understand about sin. We're not trying to scare them. We don't need to overdo it. But we need to plainly state that sin, if left unchecked, means one will spend eternity in hell. Now, what we need to tell them most about is there is a cure. There is one who can cleanse you from this leprosy-like sin, and his name is Jesus. And that brings us to our text. Verse 40 in our text, Mark 1, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Now, what was someone supposed to do if they had leprosy? They were supposed to isolate themselves from everyone else. They were not supposed to approach anybody and have contact with anybody. They were to keep totally separate. What does this leper do? He forsakes the custom and the law of his day out of desperation. This leper we're reading about here in Mark understood that he had no hope for cure unless it be Jesus. He could not observe the law and be cured of leprosy. One cannot observe the law and be cured of sin. Once you've sinned, you have sinned against the holy God and you are guilty of sin. So you can't balance that by going out and doing good things and keeping the law. That's what some people think, but it's not scriptural. Once you've sinned against God, you've sinned against God. And that sin must be dealt with. And the law cannot deal with it. Only grace can. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can deal with this sin. And with this leprosy, as this leper knows. So he violates custom. He not only approaches Jesus, kneels down before him, comes within his space, if you will, but he also makes a request. He beseeches him, the scripture says. And the words he uses is, if thou, pointing to Jesus or addressing Jesus, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, what does that tell you about this leper? One thing I see there is faith. He believes that Jesus can cleanse him. And he has come and he is pleading his case to the only one he thinks can cleanse him. You know, that's what the sinner does. We go to Christ knowing he is our only hope, believing on him. So we see a demonstration of faith here. You know what that also tells me? That this man has been already quickened by the power of God, or he could not see that Christ is his only hope. Because he has been quickened and given life, he knows and has faith, that faith given to him as well. He knows that this man can change his life, his eternity. I also see here humility. He kneels down to him. He knew that only Jesus could cleanse him and heal him. And by the way, he needed both. Every sinner does. We not only need to be cleaned up, we need to be healed so that we don't continue as a slave to sin. That comes with spiritual life. That comes with the grace of God. That comes by the power of God as he works in his people to cleanse them and make them whole, just as Isaiah 53 says he would do. You see, the sinner needs to be cleansed and healed, both. We need to be changed, just like a leper is living death and needs to be made just living and the death taken away. So does the sinner need to be changed from death into that which is living, with the death taken completely away. Now, we know we may die in the flesh. If the Lord does not come back first, we will die in the flesh. But we are alive in Christ, and we will live for eternity. Again, that all comes by the power of God. Let's look at verse 41 and verse 42. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Now, a few things I note from these verses. First of all, Jesus is moved with compassion. He has a great compassion towards sinners. And he exerts his power to cleanse and to heal and to give life where there was only death before. That's how he responds. You see, not Jesus, his compassion runs deep. It's not just a surface kind of compassion like you and I sometimes have when we look upon someone and we kind of feel bad for them, but we don't do anything to try to help them. That's a very thin kind of compassion. Amen. That's not the compassion Jesus has. Jesus does something when he feels compassion. And you ought to praise God that he does. Because he looked upon you just as he looked upon me with a great compassion, and he healed us and cleansed us and made us alive by his power. Jesus does something remarkable here too. You see, he's moved with compassion, and he put forth his hand and touched him. Jesus is, medically speaking, completely free of leprosy. To touch a leper risked one becoming a leper themselves, because leprosy can be very contagious. Jesus touched this leper. I can almost guarantee you, everybody looking at this, their mouths just dropped open. I can hear the audible gasp from people who are shocked that Jesus touched a leper. According to the law, Jesus was clean. The leper was unclean. For someone clean to touch something unclean was to make them unclean. But I want you to think about this spiritually speaking. For one who is completely holy, to touch someone who has sinned is a remarkable thing. For you and I, we come in contact with sinners every day. What does that result in us often? Sin in us. Sin is contagious, just like leprosy is, except for Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is so pure and so holy that instead of the leprosy or the sin infecting him, he overcomes it. That's how powerful our Savior is. That's why he's the only one who could die on the cross for our sins. Jesus touches the leper. Again, I would urge you to praise God because Jesus dared to touch you, a sinner. And you know what happened when he touched you, a sinner? He took your sins upon himself. He did that on the cross. And he endured the wrath of God for those sins, so that it could be said that those sins have been forgotten. They are as far away as the east is from the west. They are no longer held to your account. Jesus has paid that price. But not only that, not only when he touched you did he take your sin, But you know something else happened that's remarkable? His righteousness went from him to you. So in one exchange, your sin is taken away, and you have put upon you, if you will, a cloak of righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ. It's not yours, but it's given to you to wear as if it were yours. Praise be to God for that. He touches the leper. He takes the leper's infirmities on himself, and he gives healing in return. Note this. We read there, he put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will. You know what the significance of that is? It wasn't the leper's will that saved him. If the leper's will could have saved him, he'd already saved himself. He wouldn't have needed Jesus. This whole thing depended on the will of Jesus Christ. Depended on the will of God. And salvation does in its entirety. You and I can want to be saved and declare ourselves saved all day long. People walk the aisles all the time, say a prayer, sign a card, get baptized, say, hey, I'm saved because I made a choice. I asked Jesus to come into my heart. It's not anything we do, folks. It's not your will that saves you. What you need to understand is Jesus already came into your heart when he quickened you and gave you a new heart with faith to believe on him. It all revolves around the will of God, whether or not he chooses to save. And we ought to give him the glory that's due his name for that. Note that all Jesus had to do was speak, and the leper is healed. All Jesus had to do later in the Gospels, we find Lazarus has died. He's been in the grave for 4 days. He stinks, as his sisters tell Jesus. And all it took was for Jesus to speak, and Lazarus came forth. Now, I want to be careful about saying all it took, because you see, life had to be given there. And only God can do that. But when God spoke, Lazarus came forth. When God gives life and he speaks your name, you come forth. You are drawn to him. You come to realize that Jesus is your Savior. You believe on him with the faith that's given to you. You repent with the repentance that's given unto you. And you are converted. All because Jesus calls your name. Then we move on to verse 43 and 44 and 45. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. What's Jesus saying? You need to go away and be quiet. And don't make a big deal out of this. Because Jesus wasn't into making a big deal, okay? He wasn't into a lot of show and pageantry. He was there for a purpose, to obey his Father. That might involve miracles, it did on occasion. It might involve healings, it did on occasion. It might involve casting out demons, it did on occasion. It might involve walking on water, it might involve changing bread or two loaves and was it two fish and five loaves into baskets full of food, enough to feed 15,000 people. It might involve all that. But Jesus wasn't doing any of that for show. He did all that because he is God. And that's what he does. And he didn't want people making a big fanfare over this. And he didn't want his enemies. And yes, he already had enemies, because he has drawn crowds. And though it's not said here in Scripture, I promise you there are priests and so forth around who are hearing about this and who are greatly concerned about this. And they're already plotting to tear him down, because that's what people of the world do. And Jesus didn't want that out yet. So he tells the man to be quiet. So what does the man do? Like a good Christian, he goes somewhere and he gets quiet, right? No, he's not like a good Christian. He's like most Christians, though. Because he went out, verse 45, and began to publish it much. That doesn't mean he took out an ad in the paper or whatever. It means he just began to tell people much, a lot, everybody he saw. And you know, that's understandable. I mean, I'd have been pretty excited and overjoyed too. When you're looking at life, the rest of your life being that of a leper, and the horridness of that, and then to be cleansed and made whole, I'd have been pretty excited. I'd have felt like I needed to tell people too. And I'm not trying to justify it. I'm just trying to, you know, hey, it's I think a reality here. And so it goes and blazed abroad the matter insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. He is, again, understandably excited, but his disobedience here has the consequence of making it difficult for Jesus to go anywhere. And by the way, I want you to look at the spiritual picture here. What do we see has happened? The isolated leper has traded places with the healer that is free to go anywhere. So now the leper is out amongst the people, very social, and Jesus is isolated in the wilderness. He has to withdraw from the people. Now they come after him, but there is an exchange that has happened here. That's how good and gracious our Savior is. For a time, he traded his position in heaven and the riches of heaven, so that he could be made like a sinner. That doesn't mean he sinned. It means he took upon himself our sin. For a time, we traded places. How precious is our Savior. Well, Jesus can heal leprosy just as easily as he can cleanse from sin. But where does that leave you and I? What connection can we make to this? How can we be part of the cleansing that advances the kingdom? Well, here's how. First, we must live holy lives that show forth the power of God to quicken and convert the sinner. We should be living testimonies of what God can do in our lives as he changes us from vile and filthy sinner to a saint of the living God. May our lives be a testimony of this. And may we yield ourselves as instruments for the Lord to use to bring about the conversion of other sinners who are made alive by the grace of God. Someone has to help that former leper find a place in the society of believers. And that's what we're called to do. Sometimes that's a difficult task, because some people really don't want to let go of their sins and they drag them with them. Some people don't know what it is or what it's like to be a part of a family of believers. We have to teach them. That's our role in this. And as it goes along, more and more will be cleansed by the power of God. The kingdom will be advanced until such time as the Lord comes back. And we get to be a part of that, to take an active role in that. Let's join in that work. Let's bow our heads. Our kind and most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have cleansed us from our sin, much as this leper was cleansed from his leprosy. We are thankful for the eternal life that we have in Christ Jesus, our Savior. We're thankful that this all depends upon your will and not ours. That you make these things happen and that we don't have a part in that. I just pray, Lord, for those who have been quickened that they might believe and repent. That they might make a profession of faith, that they might be baptized, that they might become part of a body of believers. And that we all might serve you faithfully. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'll stand. What number shall we say?